This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
As usual, before we get started on the Paracast, we have a conversation going. And since I've known our special guest, Alan Greenfield, for 3,000 years, we had to catch up. It's been 2,000 since we talked last. That was last year. And Alan's always a lot of fun to talk with because he is involved in so many pursuits. And just saying, what did you do this past week would take three shows.
I take three shows this past week. This Hellier thing apparently has caused me to become a somebody in my old age. So I'm no longer a sort of somebody. I'm a somebody. Isn't that wonderful? By my books. Some think I'm living here in poverty. Help me. Help me. Help me, people.
Reminds me of the line in The Mask where Jim Carrey, as the mask, is looking in the mirror and says, "Somebody stop me.
Somebody stop me."
Well, that was certainly one of the most interesting self-promotions we've had on the show in a while. So,
well, all I can thanks say for that. Is buy my books and learn the truth about flying saucers. Not the Donald Keno truth or, you know, the George Adamski truth, but the real truth.
Oh, the real truth, right. Okay, yeah, we got into that a bit on the last show.
Truth.
Actually, we had a pretty fun show the last show, and this time it sounds like you're coming through loud and clear. We don't have to worry about you fixing the volume controls or anything else. And we got into talking about truth a bit, and I think you said something along the lines of, well, truth is subjective. And I was like, well, we should get back to that, because I don't really think it is. I think truth should be something that is separate. That's why we have courts and judges. You know, everybody has opinions, but the truth is what we're there to find out. And that's separate from what everybody might think.
How often do the courts get it right? Because if you have five witnesses, you will have five different perspectives. So it suggests at least that reality is malleable, or that we are malleable, or some variation thereof. I can't know, and pretty much physicists have decided there are limits to what we can actually know about the ultimate nature of reality. But by definition, that means we don't know. Maybe there's an objective reality out there, but we're not seeing it directly. I mean, that's just not the case. We have a set of senses, I believe I said this the last time I was on your program, that are designed in terms of biological time. We dropped out of the trees about a half an hour ago, looked around and decided to mate and run away from the creatures that would eat us and eat the creatures that we could eat. And that's what the five senses that we have are for. They're not for anything more sophisticated than that. And we're now dealing with the Big Bang and quantum mechanics and on a more, you know, Paracast type level. Cryptids walking in and out of reality and UFOs coming and going and fairy lore and all kinds of things that I cover in my work, and I think that it really raises questions of what is reality? I don't know. I think it's subjective in the sense that the evaluation of it is a subjective thing. I mean, courts will tell you that there's a different standard in science than there is in court, and a lot of people get convicted of crimes that they didn't commit, and a lot of people walk that just had good lawyers.
I don't wish to mention the initials OJ because that's controversial. So I will not do that. I will not do that. I want to get back into our corner of the world here. and I don't know if you've been following this. We'll talk about that show later.
OJ was taking a shower at the time.
Alan, I know you have a lot to tell us, but I wonder if you've been following this scuttlebutt in the last few years about the Pentagon UFO study because of the efforts of former Senator Harry Reid and the To the Stars Academy and Tom DeLonge. Have you been keeping tabs of that?
Of course. And I find that very interesting. However, I do consider all reference to governmental programs, except maybe interference in the early 1950s. And this is based on my conversation with Dewey Fournet, who would have known, and a few other people that were connected to the to Project Blue Book back in the day, and connected to the Robertson panel from the CIA, that the government knows less than you or I do about UFOs. So Harry Reid is, it's interesting that he has an interest in this, but that was true of Gerald Ford, too, before he became president. You know, he convened a panel in the House of Representatives, the only elective office he ever held, and was well-liked by ufologists, if you recall, in the late 60s, early 70s because of that. But that's Jean Duplantier's long walk down an endless tube. The government doesn't know anything about what's going on. If I'm at all right, it's interesting. It's validating in a certain sense if you're looking for nuts and bolts. If you're not looking for nuts and bolts, which I'm not particularly after many years of searching, what they do or find at the governmental level is totally irrelevant. It's like if the government decided to chase ghosts, what would they do? Any different from what the plumbers on whatever that show is on the History Channel, chasing ghosts with little meters and cameras set on night vision and stuff. They have gosh wow moments, but in terms of deciding anything of a fundamental nature, ain't going to happen that way. Wrong tools.
Okay, that goes back to the whole thing here. The question should be, what is it, not what is it in terms of what we expect it to be?
Exactly. I think that what we need to do, because there has been so much misinformation due to misidentification of what we're looking for, which is kind of the wrong thing to do, it's prejudging, is go back to what isn't it. Like one of the things that fascinates me is how little sociologists have taken an interest in the entire range of cryptozoology and ufology and paranormal research of the informal kind, as opposed to the kind that they do at the University of Virginia, which is formal and academic and good and very interesting. There is a likelihood that there is something fundamental to be zeroed in on from a sociological point of view that will be revealing about the actual nature of what's going on. I only know of one sociology study, and that was in the 1950s, the When Prophecy Fails Festinger study, and that was a study in a UFO contact cult of the failure of the cult to materialize, and they compared it to the great disappointment of fundamentalist religion in the 19th century. I thought that was extraordinary work. But nothing since then. I often ask the question, why is it that in the late 1940s, just immediately post-war, when I was barely an egg, and you were barely an egg.
We'll talk about eggs, ladies and gentlemen, In our next segment with Gene Allen and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, and multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Warning, don't let your business get left behind in what is likely to be the biggest economic boom in recent history. If you need to build for your business to grow, call General Steel today for a pre-engineered steel building designed for your needs. No wasted space. Steel prices are expected to rise, but you can still lock in your price on a General Steel building. And you can still save as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction. As much as half. But you must call now. If you need a church building, office, warehouse, manufacturing space, retail space, or more, call General Steel today. You can still get the General's 50-year structural warranty and General Steel quality, all at a price you can afford. So don't let rising steel prices put your project out of reach and stop you from making your company great.
800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. That's 800-965-1295.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Nahibo Tea Club's original pure powdery Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on, so it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Nahibo Tea Club's original pure powdery Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
This segment, Alan was talking about eggs. No, he's not the Eggman, nor is he the Walrus. Alan, please continue.
And I noticed that, I mean, this is retroactively when we were both in the teen ufology movement, that the first, very first thing that people turned to when UFOs were being seen, always in the on Earth or in the close vicinity of Earth. The first thing they turned to is either, false dichotomy by the way, either these are misidentified natural phenomena or they are visitors from another planet. Usually in those days it was Mars, and it's pushed out, you know, further into the universe so that they're not only interstellar, but they're extragalactic, as if people don't have any understanding of the implication of the notion of intergalactic. You know, that's just mind-boggling to anyone who has a vague idea of what that's like, and I suspect we're only capable of a vague idea. Anyway, why immediately would that be the inference? Because they're not seen, you know, coming in like Oumuamua from, you know, interstellar space. They're seen on or near the Earth. So what is it about people that brought about, first of all, a belief in extraterrestrials as an explanation for UFOs? And besides that, that any other theory was simply not propounded at that time. In fact, all through the 1950s and early 1960s, I don't know of anyone other than BSRA that contemplated any other theory. So why is that the case? That's a sociology question, not a question of the reality or non-reality of UFOs. And then another term entered the field. It's still there. I don't use it, but others do. Belief. Do you believe in flying saucers? Do you believe in UFOs? That's a term, religious faith. Belief is a term of fidelity to a notion and reverence for it. And that's a very, very strange thing. From a sociological standpoint, it's a really, really strange thing. And yet, those go back to the 1940s. I have newspaper clippings going back to, well, to the alleged crash at Roswell. The terms were in use right away, extraterrestrial and belief in extraterrestrials. Well, I think that it's fairly likely, not as likely as I once thought it was, that we are not the only biological life forms in the universe, but there's nothing to link UFOs to it other than the stories that have been spun out of the mythos that we're being visited by extraterrestrials. So why is that the first idea? Why not something entirely different from that?
That's an interesting question, and usually we start off our shows talking about our previous guest, and this brings up the whole conversation we had with Red Pill Junkie, who is on our show last week, and we got into the whole idea that what we're dealing with is perhaps not a material phenomena, and I say that as opposed to physical phenomena, because if we can sense it in any sense of any sense at all, it's got to be something that is physical in the sense that it's part of our universe that we can detect, but it's not something that's material, as in, you know, your typical solid objects. There's some sort of perceptual thing that's involved with consciousness, and that people may be perceiving these things in a way that doesn't actually correspond to our typical sensory stimulus response. We just assume that's what's going on. So we even got into talking about the idea of people using etheogens to explore this in altered states of consciousness. What do you think about all that?
I think that's closer to the money than much of what I've heard, but that's just happening like in the last few years, other than me and five other people, you know, Valet and a few others that have, going back to a little newsletter that I did as early as the late 1960s called, I think it was called Alternate Horizons Newsletter. I was contemplating alternatives to the ye olde ETH, as I called it, and consciousness has a great deal to do with it. That doesn't mean something external isn't happening. It does mean we're processing it in a certain way and with certain preconceptions that are there. So that sounds, I don't know the gentleman that you had on your previous show, but that's, it's become a little bit more within the tightest circles within ufology. It's become a little bit more of an acceptable notion to refer to ultra-terrestrial sources rather than extraterrestrial sources, although I do see people using those terms interchangeably, and they're not necessarily interchangeable at all. My own view is that the most likely thing that we can say that makes any sense at all is that we are processing something that we're incapable within our level of mental development, that we're incapable of fully resolving in a way that is the actuality behind the phenomena. So we resolve it as best we can. I mean, there are a lot of well-known circumstances where we barely see something on the horizon and our brains seem to resolve it in something that we can identify. We get closer, it's something entirely different. That is our effort to make coherent sense out of something that we don't yet have enough coherent data to resolve. What if in this case, the case of cryptids and goblins, you know, whatever, you want UFOs, landed UFOs, contact experiences, that it is literally ineffable, that it's something that we can't say and perhaps something that we can't even think, so we resolve it as best we can. E.T., little green men, little robots, you know, the whole range of things that are just generally heard, including the really ridiculous stuff like the Simonton case and others that are basically an effort by people to describe ineffable experiences. Jung dealt with this in Une Myth Moderne to some extent, but I think that doesn't get the whole story at all.
We're going to continue, and I want to ask him about the Simonton case, because that one there everybody laughed at. But it wasn't so simple. I don't think Alan Greenfield, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy, you're in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Officials that are investigating a shooting by a Saudi national at the Naval Air Station in Pensacola, Florida, are trying to find out what sparked it. He killed three people and wounded eight others. The gunman, Mohammed Saeed Al-Shamrani, was an aviation student from Saudi Arabia. Defense Secretary Mark Esper says it's too early to call this a terrorist attack.
First of all, it's a very tragic incident. Three lives lost, eight injured. And, of course, we extend our condolences to all the families affected by it and touched by it and our military community down there. But no, I can't say it's terrorism at this time. I think we need to let the investigators, the FBI, do its work and tell us, get us the facts, and we'll move out from there.
The assault ended when the deputies killed the attacker. President Trump says Saudi Arabia's King Salman called him to express his outrage. This is USA Radio News.
At the American Veterinary Medical Association annual convention in Washington, D.C., I spoke with Dr. John Howe, AVMA president, about One Health.
One Health is really a collaboration between physicians and veterinarians and public health officials. For example, in Minnesota, our state public health veterinarian deals with zoonotic diseases, rabies, for example. Animals are sentinels for humans, and humans are sentinels for some infections in animals.
There's more valuable information at AVMA.org.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739.
Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, Eddie Auto Pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what Dr. Joe has to say.
Hypertension runs in my family, unfortunately. I started having problems a number of years ago, and I had heard the commercials a number of times, and I personally do not like the idea of being on medication. Even though I'm a physician, you would think, you know, that's our thing, but we just don't like it. So I figured, you know, I'll start the product, and I did, and I got to tell you, it does help. By the grace of God and that product, you know, my labs come back really good all the time, right on the money. I used to always have, like, cold toes in the wintertime, and I used to love going down to Florida for my medical conferences. But since I've been taking the product regularly, I don't have that problem anymore. You got a great product there, Don, and I just wanted to tell you how appreciative I am. Thank you so much.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hi, it's Greg Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
When Alan Greenfield is on, you can just sit back and listen. He's really great. Alan, you mentioned Symington before. We're talking about that Eagle River, Wisconsin case, right?
Yep.
You know what? Tell our listeners, because many of them haven't heard about this. We did talk about it early in the days of the Paracast, but I'd like you to mention it again. It is something you'd laugh about, but it's stranger than that. Alan?
You know, I don't remember the details, but the thing that sticks out, and I think it's the thing that should stick out, is this guy, Joe Symington. I don't know, you know, whether he's still around or not, unlikely, but may he live long and prosper. He sees a UFO land and beings get out who resemble human beings very closely, and he makes them buckwheat pancakes, which they eat with relish and take with them in a take-home bag. Well, I'd add the take-home bag, but, you know. And, of course, when people hear that, the ludicrous notion involved is that they wanted pancakes, and he made them pancakes. People take that and dismiss the entire case. And one theory, this sort of John Keel paranoia theory, is, well, these things are designed to throw people off because the ufonauts are masters of deception. Deception, deception. But there may be a more complex explanation. It may be that people remember these things in terms that make sense to them, even though the actual experience is real, but beyond the comprehension of the Joe Symantons of the world, or for that matter, the Albert Einsteins of the world. I mean, advanced physicists will tell you that some of the things that they can mathematically work out are impossible to resolve mentally. You simply have to turn it into code in order to be able to understand it even in a second or third hand way. I compare abduction experiences, for example, and I don't believe I'm the first to do this, to near-death experiences, which have, I must say, been better researched by more competent people than most ufologists. It seems like it's the same experience. The touching of the ineffable. If we had more information on religious experiences, the people that did the Hellier documentary used the so-called God helmet, the Persinger helmet, as a tool for understanding these phenomena. I think that's a very valid approach, but not something that anybody else has used for that. The God helmet wasn't invented. God helmet is in quotes. Wasn't invented to look into UFOs. It was invented to, at an academic level, look into religious experience by inducing it, or allegedly inducing it. I mean, whether it's the same thing or something that simulates it, I don't know. I've used a brainwave synchronizer, and it certainly simulates that, but I wouldn't call it the real deal, so to speak.
Hang on a sec there, Alan. Okay, so most of us are familiar with the work of Michael Persinger and his work with electromagnetic fields influencing the brain and the resulting perceptions that people experience because of that. Now, you just said that you were using something called a brainwave synchronizer. Can you explain what that is and what it does?
It's a system. Usually it involves a set of headphones, not any different from the ones that I'm wearing right now, and a set of, I don't know what you would call them, glasses, or anyway, they're black on the outside and they have a series of colored lights on the inside. Well, some of them just have white light. And they synchronize with sounds and colors at the same time with your eyes closed. And what happens is at different frequencies, because there's a little device that generates whatever frequency it's on, it entrains with brainwaves, and at certain levels it produces various effects, ranging from sexual effects to religious type experiences.
So this works differently than the God helmet in that it's using sensory input information as opposed to electromagnetic waves.
Well, I'm not sure that ultimately there's that much of a difference, but yeah, it works differently. Of course.
Yeah. No. Oh, yeah. There's a huge difference, but maybe what's happening is it's still stimulating the same brain centers to do similar types of things. That's really interesting. And so I'm imagining that this is some sort of a commercially available product as opposed to the God helmet, which is a very specialized piece of equipment at a university, then I'm not even sure, now that we've lost Persinger, unfortunately, that anyone has even picked up on his work.
Yes. Actually, that's why I was trying to get you to watch that series, because apparently there is a commercially available form of the, quote, God helmet, unquote. It's expensive. It's a lot more expensive than brainwave synchronizers, but I'd like to get a hold of one and see what happens.
Alan, before we go on, let me ask you. People don't know what we're talking about with this TV show. I would have liked to have seen it, but the time got away from me, and it's there on the list. Explain it to everybody.
Okay. I've seen a lot, and in fact participated in a lot of programs, many of them on the History Channel, not recently, since I wrote a very critical article about them, and that are sort of reality television. I think that was the term you used. Just like the Girls of South Jersey, or, you know, whatever, or the Osbournes, or whatever. And these shows, in my experience, are all stage to one extent or another. I don't mean that the phenomena that are observed in them are fake, but they use let me put it another way. One program that I did, and I'm not going to mention which program, took place on Liberty Island at the Statue of Liberty. Well, At that time, my eldest son and his wife were living in New York, and they flew me to New York and put me up in a relatively decent hotel and paid my cab fare down to the ferry and took me out to Liberty Island. So I did the show, but when I left, I felt like I really need to look into joining the union, SAG-AFTRA, because what I am in this and what the three people that they hired to be the experts that do the show are acting. I mean, I actually, there's a scene in that particular episode where you'll see me dressed in the kind of man in black regalia, and that was my idea that I had, complete with shades and stuff, walking off the ferry and coming to meet them. There was actually a mark on the ground, just like in television, the commercial programs, just like on The Tonight Show or The Late Show or The Late, 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 Late Show. Stop at the mark and pretend to see these people who I'm supposed to meet. That was after we've already done the interview. And then during the interview, they, of course, they cut a lot, and I expect that. I mean, that's
different. Well, we know a lot of that stuff is staged. I mean, you know, that's
no,
why...
No, all of it is staged,
you know,
in my opinion. But Hellier is a group of people who are comparatively young. I would say they're in their 30s, early 30s maybe, but I, you know, never asked. It's a little bit impolite. But they are enthusiasts. The thing is, they're also really, really good at what they do.
We're very good at what we do, too. But we have to break sometimes. That was a bad segue. Gene, Alan Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains contains the polypeptides from 6 different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal Hair Care System is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Hello, this is John Burroughs, one of the witnesses to the Rendlesham UFO incident. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We're talking about Hellier, the reality show, or more of a reality show, Alan?
Yeah, not to be confused with Paul Hellier, the former defense minister up here that was involved in the whole citizen disclosure movement. Completely different Hellier, right?
The town Hellier, Kentucky, which is above the complex cave system that runs all the way from eastern Kentucky all the way into West Virginia, which is, you know, a UFO cryptid, et cetera, a hot zone, and always has been, as far as I can tell, is named after a person in the late 18th or early 19th century. So they may be related. I mean, it is an unusual name. And
No, they're spelled differently, too. I'm pretty sure what we've got the Hellier, H-E-L-L-I-E-R, and then we have the other Hellier from Canada that is, I'm pretty sure, H-E-L-L-Y-E-R.
That's a common change, though, from European. My father took the name Greenfield. I guess when he came south, it was Greenfeld. And some of my uncles and their descendants were Greenfeld, not Greenfields. And in Europe, it was Gruenfeld. I mean, that's just very common to do some alterations, particularly with I's and Y's and that sort of thing. So they could be related or not. It doesn't really, you know, it isn't really germane to this. Suffice to say about the people that did the Hellier Season 1 and Season 2, which is currently running on Amazon Prime, but will be available for free for nothing if you have internet access on YouTube in a couple of weeks. Actually, Season 1 is available on YouTube now, and I don't recommend seeing Season 2 without seeing Season 1. They're the real deal. In other words, I know these people, and they're enthusiasts, but they're also competent. They also don't have any deep-seated belief system involved. They're explorers, and they show it warts and all, by which I mean, if you've ever done field research, which I have a lot of the stuff you do is blind alleys. And, of course, in a reality television, that would be edited out, but it isn't edited out. And yet it's not at all boring because there's a certain numinosity that settles over the entire process. And initially they're simply investigating a message that they got from, I believe, a pseudonymous person named David something. I'm not going to spoil the show, but I'm just going to say that a show is probably the wrong term. Genuine documentary of their research process beginning in Hellier, Kentucky, that led them further and further away from standard notions. They were originally ghost investigators into that kind of universal phenomena world that I think are one phenomenon, and they seem to be headed in that same direction. I mean, I'm not, you know, pushing them to, but it's based on their trial and error findings in these really spooky places. I find it very interesting. It also should encourage other people to do field research and document it in the way they did. Also, I do have a son who is a screenwriter, Screenwriters Guild, genuine with credential screenwriter son. So I'm aware of the what's professional and what isn't. And their stuff is ready for prime time. In my opinion, Showtime or HBO or whatever should pick it up because they're terrific.
Okay, well, that's all fine. It's good to have decent documentaries and people who are out doing work in the field. But then again, there's a lot of history in ufology that goes back to official, pretty objective investigation by people like the Air Force. And of course, we go all the way back to Blue Book and so on. And this brings us back to the beginning of the show. Well, you know, why did people assume that maybe these were some sort of off-worldly craft? And that's because the people that were doing the estimate of the situation back in Project Sign were engineers. They were scientists. They were tasked with trying to come up with a rational explanation for what was going on. And those people determined that the most likely explanation was some sort of off-world craft. They thought interplanetary in those days because they didn't know as much about our solar system or the universe. Nowadays, we know a lot more. We know that virtually every star out there has got a planetary system around it. The interplanetary hypothesis, not so much in terms of our own solar system. Interstellar, it just makes sense because we know that there are other planets around other stars. We don't know that there's another universe out there yet. That's just something that we get into with people believing in certain things that might be possible, but we don't know that that's the case.
Well, it's actually fairly advanced scientific thinking in theoretical physics. The math works, and the notion that you just said in passing that Air Force researchers, United States Air Force researchers are objective, and that engineers are looking for objective solutions. Of course they are. But they're looking within their own belief system because you can't help but look within your own belief system. If you send engineers into the field, it's much more likely that they're going to find engineering-type solutions. And the notion that the Air Force, United States Air Force, is an objective entity and that it's a two-bit program, which it always was, I mean, three guys and a secretary, was in fact an extensive examination of the facts and not a debunking project, as has been alleged by many. And I think reading the 1953 CIA panel conclusions and getting yourself into the American headset of 1953 that the commies were behind everything, debunking seems to have been the goal of the project. So they didn't conclude that they were extraterrestrial. If anybody who tells you that Project Blue Book concluded that they were extraterrestrial.
No, we were talking about, sorry about that. I said Project Sign. Everybody knows about the estimate of the situation in ufology as a part of history. Ruppelt, who actually ran Blue Book, had it, held it in his own hands, saw it. And we're not talking about just.
So have I, by the way.
You know. Oh, you've actually held a copy of the estimate of the situation?
Absolutely.
From Project Sign?
Absolutely. And
because,
I've
okay.
Dewey Fournet, so I know exactly what it said. I mean,
well, we got to get into that because that, according to every other source that I've ever run across, was actually incinerated. It was ordered destroyed Ruppelt never had a copy. Nobody has a copy. And it's almost thought of as like the holy grail of ufology if you can find it. So where did you encounter this copy?
Yeah, so long ago, it was in the late 60s. I'm pretty sure that Gene probably saw a copy. I believe I encountered it when I visited the, I know when it was. You can look up the date, because when Project Blue Book was closed down and the Condon Report had been issued, there was a rumor that all the files of Project Blue Book, which included Sign and Grudge, by the way. I mean, it one folded into the next one. And peripheral things like the CIA study were germane to that back in the day.
We're talking about, when we go back to Project Sign, we're not talking about just a couple of people and a secretary. We are talking about the Air Force Directorate of Special Intelligence at Air Material Command. We had Special Agent Reynolds there. We had also, I believe it's a colonel who was there. Colonel Garrett, okay, was his name. And then they had De Armand is another guy. I'm just trying to remember this stuff. But if you look at it, the people that they had were in Wright-Patterson, and that's where they were doing the reverse engineering of any of the aircraft that were downed or enemy. They actually tried to figure this out with real engineers. They had a whole team.
You know, right? What, like, folks, we're going to break now because we're in the middle of a real interesting discussion. We have Alan Greenfield. I'm Gene Steinberg. He's J. Randall Murphy. And a little bit later, we're going to tell you about some things that are with regard to what's happening with the Paracast store. We'll explain it later. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Message and data rates may apply. Individual results may vary. Exclusions apply.
But hey, I'm buying a huge flat-screen TV so I can finally see it without my glasses.
Why not just get LASIK at the LASIK Vision Institute? That's what I'm doing.
My glasses and contacts are a pain. I'd love to finally get rid of these, but who can afford LASIK?
You can. Because the LASIK Vision Institute is offering dramatically low prices and an absolutely free consultation. Just text 211 to 350350. The LASIK Vision Institute has already performed over 1 million procedures. They use the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology that helps the majority of patients achieve 20/20 vision for a fraction of what others charge. Better vision, better value. The LASIK Vision Institute. Make this the year you finally get LASIK. For a free consultation plus an extra 20% discount, text 211 to 350350. You'll see for free if LASIK is right for you. That's D-O-1-1 to 350350.